Hello, this is Jim Person.
And I'm Kristen Auerbach.
And we'd like to welcome you to the Fairfax County Pawcast. It's the podcast that features news, stories, and events from the Fairfax County Animal Shelter. And on this edition of the Pawcast, we'll talk to Animal Control Sergeant Elena Schwartz about why this is the busiest time of year for animal control officers. We're also going to learn about the types of calls they receive to help companion animals and wildlife in Fairfax County, and discuss a unique shelter program that provides support to people who are mourning the loss of a beloved pet. And we'll hear about a family of finches, our featured pets of the week as well. So, Kristen, Elena, welcome to the podcast this week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I guess we'll start off with animal control, our featured guest here today. We kind of teased it a little bit at the beginning about some of the common calls that animal control officers respond to, and this is what we've referred to as the busiest time of the year. So can you give us some of those calls and kind of the why?
Yeah, the spring and the summer are usually always the busiest time of the year for us, and that's mostly because there's a lot more wildlife out. Mm. More people are out and about as well. So we deal with a lot of sick and injured wildlife, dogs in cars. You know, people are coming off those cooler months, so they're not really thinking about the warmer weather in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So they're still taking their dogs with them, not thinking about how hot it's going to get inside the car. Wildlife in the home, dogs running loose. Again, everyone just wants to enjoy that, the mm-hmm. great weather that mm-hmm. we're having.
Well, you mentioned the dogs in the car and the pets in the car and that kind of thing. It's like we haven't gotten to summer, so I know I'm not in that mindset, but we've been in the, you know, mid-upper 80s with high humidities, et cetera, recently, even though it's spring. So it is kind of something that sneaks up on folks, I guess.
It is. I mean, the high humidity can actually make it a little worse for bringing your dog with you. And if you park in the sun, even though you're cracking your windows a little bit, mm-hmm. it doesn't take much for that temperature inside the car to start getting really hot. And some signs of heat distress in dogs are going to be the excessive panting, the bright red or a dark red tongue and gums. Sometimes they'll be unwilling to get up. A thick saliva as well can be some signs of the heat distress.
And it doesn't take very long, does it?
No, it can take as little as 20 minutes for your dog to start showing symptoms to actually get to a point where it will not recover from it.
Mm. Wow, I didn't know that. Animal control officers, you guys have a lot of responsibilities, and I maybe an assumption on my part that you respond to incidents or that kind of things. And I guess one of the common things we think about is folks that may be abusing an animal that you deal with. If I happen to be in a situation where I might see abuse or think there's abuse, how do I contact you guys? How do I get assistance or help from animal control?
You can call the police on emergency number. That number is 703-691-2131. You can be anonymous with that if you wish. However, it's really good if you can leave us some type of contact number, because sometimes the officers will have some additional questions, and that will only assist them with their investigation.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask about the anonymous part, because I would think a big part of folks wanting to do the right thing but not wanting to be put in a situation where their, you know, neighbor then hates them or retaliates or something like that. So
correct. The call takers oftentimes will enter in the anonymous complaint. But at the same time, if you do leave your name and a contact number for the officer, they're not going to that neighbor and saying, well, you know, Mr. Smith next door mm-hmm. is the one who called and complained on you. Mm-hmm. They leave all of that information out. They just simply say, we got a complaint. We need to check on the welfare of your animal.
Gotcha. We talked about dogs, cats, those kind of things, maybe companion animals that we think about carrying with us in the car, et cetera. Mentioned spring, the abundance of animals, and I guess baby animals, new animals. Are there lots of them and kind of some situations that we might be thinking of in the spring that we're dealing with?
Correct. We are starting to see a lot of calls for abandoned baby wildlife. Hmm. It's not abnormal for fawns to be left alone by their parents for anywhere from 24 to 48 hours. Fledglings are starting to leave the nest but can't quite fly, so we're getting a lot of injured baby bird complaints, when really they're not injured at all. They just don't have the ability to fly yet. Fledglings are distinguished from the adult birds. They have full feathers, but their tail feathers aren't quite in yet, so they have like a stubby feathered tail versus right. a long feathered tail right. like you would see in an adult bird.
Okay.
unless you see a physical injury, it's best to leave them alone. Keep an eye on them from a distance. Mm-hmm. With the baby birds, if you know where their nest is and you see mom and dad around, they're fine. Mm-hmm. If you can put them back in the nest, that's great. But if not, they'll be fine on the ground. Parents will still take care of them. Mm-hmm. If you have any concerns, you can also call the wildlife rescue number, which is the 703-440-0800. Mm-hmm. That is a volunteer program, so they don't always call back right away. But again, just give the baby some time. If they don't look like they're physically injured, mm-hmm. parents are usually still nearby.
Mm-hmm. Two-part question. What do animal control officers do if you get a call like that, that someone sees what they think is an injured bird or an animal, and it's not? What do animal control officers do? But then the second part of that question, what does animal control do if you find an injured animal like a, you know, baby fox or deer or something like that?
We'll always respond if there's any doubt mm-hmm. as to whether or not there is an injury, and we'll assess the situation. If it is an injury and we do need to take it, a lot of our local vets will help us with treating that and getting them to a wildlife rehabber.
Animal control. I was going to say, I guess maybe a lot of people don't really know everything animal control does. I know I don't. I'm sure there are things that animal control does that I'm not aware of. Is there something that animal control and animal control officers do that you don't think the public thinks they do or isn't aware of?
I'm not entirely sure that, I mean, because we get calls for everything that's animal related, and 9 times out of 10 we're dealing with it one way or the other. Mm-hmm. One thing that the public does need to realize, though, is there is sometimes only 4 officers working all of Fairfax County, so mm-hmm. our response time can be rather significant.
Wow. There's 4 animal control officers total, or, I mean, how many officers are there?
Correct. We have a little over 20 officers with our department, but they're all on shifts. So we work an 11.5-hour day, just like the police department officers do. But day shift, if my minimum staffing's at 4, I may only have 4 officers on the road working calls.
Mm-hmm. So it's a 24-hour staffing?
We're on call after 12:30.
Okay. Wow. And remind folks that Fairfax County is something like 400 square miles with 1.2 million residents and no telling
exactly.
how many animal residents. Okay, wow. Dog bites. Something we haven't really talked about, but maybe a common occurrence or maybe something that folks think of that's more common. I guess, first of all, is it? I mean, are there a lot of dog bite issues in Fairfax County?
It is pretty common, and it could be anything from an unintentional bite. You know, say you're playing ball and the mouth accidentally breaks the skin because it's grabbing the ball from your hand, to an actual attack, and you're quite literally bitten in an aggressive manner by the dog. Anytime a domestic animal bites a person, there's an automatic 10-day quarantine. Mm. Depending on circumstances and things like that, it could be quarantined at home, it could be quarantined at a local vet, or it could be quarantined at the animal shelter.
It seems that because the officers are out there staying on top of dog bites, they're monitoring dogs biting, they're monitoring dangerous and potentially vicious dogs. From the shelter perspective, it seems like we have a really good handle on, you know, knowing where the problems are and then stopping the problems, so that in general, as a county, we don't get as many serious bites because the animal control officers are kind of staying on top of it. Is that true?
Correct. I mean, usually if we're working an investigation reference a dog bite, but say it doesn't quite meet that criteria for dangerous dog or even a vicious dog, our officers at that time are advising those citizens, you know, look, even though it doesn't meet this criteria now, you need to be aware of what steps you need to take to prevent it from ever meeting that criteria, because we don't want that.
Mm-hmm. Animal Control Sergeant Elena Schwartz is with us on the PawCast today. And before we wrap up our time with you on the PawCast, I want to make sure we try to get as much information out as we can. So if there's one piece of pet advice you could give, or advice to pet owners in Fairfax County from the animal control perspective, what would it be?
We come across a lot of citizens that actually don't keep copies of their vet records on hand. And whether that's because we were called there because of a complaint, you know, maybe there's an emergency, having those vet records on hand is pretty important. If you have to leave right away with your pet, you need to be able to take those records with you. Mm. And if we're working an investigation and we need those medical records, sometimes it's hard to track that down through your vet's office. And one of my officers actually recommends that citizens take a photo of their rabies certificate with their phone. That way you almost always have your phone on you. And then you'll always have your rabies certificate with you in case you're in a situation where you need to provide it right away.
Wow.
And we've started, because of that, we've started to, when people adopt animals, encourage them while they're standing at the counter to take pictures of that, those materials, because they can be really, really important.
Yeah, that's really two great pieces of advice there. I know earlier you mentioned a couple of phone numbers. Can you kind of hit those phone numbers or other resources or any other bits of information, your final point here?
Again, our police non-emergency number to reach animal control officers is 703-691-2131. We have officers on duty from 6 a.m. to 12:30 at night, and then we're on call after that for emergencies. The wildlife rescue number is 703-440-0800, and the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries has a wildlife conflict helpline, and that number is 855-571-9003.
And of course, if folks are driving or out running and can't grab all those numbers or whatever, Kristen, they can always call the animal shelter and you guys can help them
with
other information, etc. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing information. Always a pleasure to have guests and learn more about what's going on with animal shelter, animal control, animals and wildlife in Fairfax County. Speaking of animals in Fairfax County, we've had dogs, we've had cats. I think those have been our featured pets,
right?
Dogs and cats, but not today.
No, not today.
We have a little something different.
We have a lot of birds right now in the shelter for whatever reason. And I think we have six stray birds right now that have flown away and are awaiting their parents coming to get them. But we also have some birds that have been surrendered and are going to be available for adoption. One of those is a cage of finches. And finches are really, they can make really great family pets for people who don't want to necessarily interact on a daily basis in terms of handling a pet. They're a little bit like the aquarium fish of birds in that they're really pretty to watch. They have a great time with each other. And all we really need to do for them is feed them, clean up after them, and make sure that they have a good, healthy environment to live in. Right now we have a cage of finches. It came in 2 days ago, and it has, I think there's 10 finches. We'll probably split that up into two cages and adopt those out. And the great deal this week is that if you adopt out a cage of finches, you pay one adoption fee, which is $10, and you get the finches in the cage, and you also get the cage.
Wow.
So big incentive. I mean, normally that would be several hundred dollars,
right,
to get that set up. But finches are good to consider for families who just want an animal that they can watch and kind of take care of and not have to handle.
Right. So two special deals, if we will, for the
two special deals.
Two fastest acting podcast listeners.
Yes, act quickly.
All right. About out of time. Anything else animal shelter related, animal control, either one of you like to throw in? Update on the new building. We've had the ribbon cutting and everything. Any news from that standpoint?
Well, I want to talk briefly about a shelter program that we always forget to talk about. And it's a really important one because it's one of our longest running programs, and that's our pet bereavement group. It meets every third Wednesday at 7 p.m. at the shelter. And the woman who started this is named Kathy Ryder. She is amazing. She started out doing bereavement support for people who had lost their loved ones and found that a lot of people who had lost loved ones also were missing pets. And there were a lot of requests for pet bereavement support groups. And so Kathy stepped in, I think this was like 30 years ago. She's been doing this forever and started holding these groups at Fairfax and at the Alexandria Shelter. The groups have been going on, meeting every third Wednesday for years and years. And people come and just, you know, talk about their pet loss and sort of how they're coping, and new people come every week. Some people have been coming for years, and so it's one of those programs that we don't talk about very much, but it's like another really cool service available in Fairfax County that residents should know about. Unfortunately, you know, our pets don't live as long as we do in most cases,
right.
So there's a real need for this service.
All right, and to get more information about that?
You can call the shelter 703-830-1100 extension 2, and there is information on the website, which is www.fairfaxcounty.gov/animal-shelter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I had almost forgotten that, so thanks
sure.
for reminding me. All right. We are at our end of our time, so that unfortunately is going to have to do it for this edition of the Animal Shelter Podcast. We do want to thank you for listening, and remind you that the next time that you need to add a dog, a cat, a rabbit, a guinea pig, or maybe some finches to your family, come to the Fairfax County Animal Shelter, where your new best friend or friends are waiting for you. Shelter is located at 4500 West Ox Road in Fairfax, open Tuesdays through Fridays, noon to 7 p.m., and on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
For more Fairfax County Animal Shelter news and events, visit us online at fairfaxcounty.gov/animalshelter and be sure to check out the calendar of events located on the site. You can also call 703-830-1100 extension 2 or email fcpdpetresources@fairfaxcounty.gov to have all of your questions answered.
And, of course, you can find the Animal Shelter on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to get the latest shelter news, events, and success stories. And, of course, to see all the cute animals, you'll want to watch Tips and Tails. That's the television show that's on Channel 16. Animal Shelter Pawcast is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government, and we thank you for listening.